Praise God. Amen. Praise God. All right, you turn, while you are standing, turn in your Bibles, please, to John 14. We have decided in our Bible college that we're going to start a couple of classes in the daytime. Yeah, daytime, 8:30 in the morning. One or two classes in the week for students that maybe work at night, or you'd like to study in the Bible school, or you're a mom dropping off the kids at GGCA, or you have some time in the morning and you could take a class in the morning. So that'll be something we'll start. Isn't that a good idea? Yeah. And then, but that classes start tomorrow night, but that program will be starting 1 week later. So 1 week from tomorrow, we'll start that up. Or is that the picnic? That's the picnic. So we won't have class that day, but we'll start that week. Okay. Picnic is down in Patterson Park. So that'll be 12:30 to 3:30, is it, Pastor? Okay, so you are welcome, and it'll be a good time. John 14 is one verse we'll read, and I'll have you sit down. 14, 16, and 17. We have it up on the screen. There it is. Okay, here we go. And I will pray. Is that, that's 16, that's 17. So 16, 14, 16. Ready? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. I want to emphasize that. The Spirit of God, whom the world cannot receive. Okay. There, the world is humanity. Without God, they have wisdom of the world, the spirit of the world, the ways of the world, but they cannot receive the Spirit of truth. That's what it says, verse 17. Let's finish it. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. Let's turn to your neighbor. But you know him, say it to your neighbor. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So he is dwelling with you. And because we are, Jesus died, raised from the dead, now he dwells in us. He's in us. And at that time with the disciples, before the cross, he was with them. But after the cross, he is in them, okay? And same with you. Now, the Holy Spirit is a very important part of your life, and he has a personality. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Father is a person, the Son is a person, and the Holy Spirit is a person. And he is your teacher and your comforter. And he guides you, and he helps you, he leads you, and he gives you spiritual understanding. And it is a joy when you learn to walk in the Spirit and learn to be taught by the Spirit. Now, the Spirit wrote this book, and this is one of the evidences of a Spirit-filled life is your love for the book and your understanding of the book. And it happens little by little. And church meetings, remember in the first century, most people did not read. In the first century of Christianity, most people did not read. So what does the Bible say? Faith comes how? By hearing. Hearing. So they could hear. And as they heard a message from the Bible, they heard, and the Holy Spirit taught them, and they got rooted and grounded in their faith. But we have a very good advantage that we can read, and all of us have one of these. And we can read it and meditate on it and memorize it and eat it and think about it. Now, Wednesday night in our service here, it was an amazing service, and it was about wisdom and how we get it and what it means. So it was a beautiful time. Before Wednesday and through these days and weeks, the Holy Spirit has been moving and speaking to us and building us up in the faith and opening up our Bible and learning and growing in our faith. So this is amazing. The Holy Spirit is a person, dwells in you, and is your teacher, and you need him. Okay, you may be seated. No one enjoys a visit to the dentist. Now, my mom is sitting down over here, which is amazing. My mother is here, which is great. Okay. And I remember as a teenager, young, 12 years old, 13, 14, finding out about cavities. And my mom was so good at this that we had to have our teeth fixed. Because we have to keep them, best we can. Try to save them. Don't lose them. No one enjoys a visit to the dentist, although all enjoy the long-range benefits of the visit. In a similar way, no one enjoys the difficulties of a trial, but all who endure them enjoy the side effects of perseverance, proven character, and hope. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does in your life is that he gives you the comfort and the guidance to go through hard times. We don't want to go to the dentist. Then you'll lose your teeth. At least I would have, because I have a lot of cavities. Not lately, praise God. Trials are for building us. They make us. There's a story about a lumberjack with all these logs coming down the river, and he could select one, take it to the side, and he could see another one and take it to the side. And they asked, "What are you doing?" He said, "These logs are from the valley, but some of them are from the mountaintop. And the wood is different, the same species, but they grew different. When they're up on the mountaintop, it was more severe weather, and the wood is more dense. The wood is actually stronger than the trees that grew up in the valley." Where in the valley they had more water, they didn't have the fierce winds, they didn't have the same stress. But the trees that were up above, it was tougher. And so there's a difference. In your life, it's the Holy Spirit that will take you through your trials and teach you. He is a person. And he's very close to you. And he will strengthen you in the inner man. And this is why you can handle the temptations that come in life. I was thinking of young people not being prepared for life. And we can read in the paper, we realize that some people... I met a man in New York City who was in the NBA, and he's 23 years old, and he had a contract for $84 million. And I was just thinking, how can anybody handle $84 million? It's a disaster waiting to happen. Does he have the character? Can he endure temptation? Can he handle himself? Does he know who he is? Does he know how to make decisions? Can he be kind of tough about things? And I don't know. I don't know the end of the story. I don't know if there is one. But just to say, if you have God in your life, you have an amazing, very important relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. Because he has been sent into this world so that we could know Christ. And Christ is the master of this world. He has a different spirit. He has a different mind. He did not sin. He was able to suffer. He knew how to make decisions and what footsteps to take in life. And what I'm saying is that a lot of times in the world they say, we need a leader, but we say we need the anointing. In the world, they say, we need to solve our problems. And we say, we need to know God. And sometimes the problems will be solved, sometimes not. I have this little piece about bees. Undergo an interesting process to ensure the healthy development of their young. The queen lays each egg in a six-sided cell, which is filled with pollen and honey to feed on until the egg reaches a certain stage of maturity. The top is sealed with a capsule of wax. When the occupant has exhausted its supply of nourishment, the time has come for the tiny creature to be released. But what a wrestling and tussling and straining it endures to get through the wax seal. The opening is so narrow that in the agony of its exit, the bee rubs off the membrane that encases its wings so that when it does emerge, it's able to fly. If an insect were to get into the hive, devour the wax capsules, the young bees would crawl out without any effort or trouble but would be unable to fly. Soon their mature relatives would proceed to sting them to death. Christians also need the times of wrestling and straining with trials so that they may be prepared to do God's will for their life. There are many examples of this. And I think we all know, I would like my life to be easy. But God has everything in balance. I need to give you a little bit of trouble. You need to have a little bit of trouble, and it'll be good for you. You will look to me. You will seek me and find me. You need to come to me and trust me, and I will fill you with the Holy Spirit. So let's go now to our second portion is Psalm 89, please. We have like that little capsule of wax on the top. We could say, yes, I have to go to school. I don't want to go to school. You have to go to school. But I don't want to go to school. But you have to go to school. I don't want to go to work. It's good for you to go to work. You got to go to work. And the Holy Spirit can lead you in that. And he has a plan at work. My marriage, my relationships, my church life, my old age or youth, whatever it might be, there's that struggle that I have. I don't want it this way, but then it may be good for me, and I find the Holy Spirit guiding me and leading me. Not in what I want to do, but in what God wants me to do. Because we have the Spirit, not of the world. We have the Spirit, which is of God. And He guides us and leads us in the highway of holiness, the highway of effectiveness, the highway of wisdom, the highway of love and forgiveness. Maybe we've all been in that place where we say, I don't want to forgive him for what he did to me. What he did to me was terrible. I don't want to forgive him. And then the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit says, forgive him. Forgive him. And so now we are living in another way, the way Jesus lived. For it says that we walk in his steps, 1 John 2:6. We learn to live by faith the way Christ did. This is a new way. I read this piece about the founder of the Holiday Inn motels. He said his name was Wilson Johnson. When I was 40 years old, I worked in a sawmill. One morning, the boss told me I was fired. Depressed and discouraged, I felt like the world had caved in. When I told my wife what had happened, she said, what are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to mortgage our little home and go into the building business. My first venture was the construction of two small buildings. Within 5 years, I was a multimillionaire. At the time it happened, I didn't understand why I was fired. Later, I saw it was God's unerring, wondrous plan to get me into the way of his choosing. Trouble may be good for us. And we kind of are wrestling our way so that then we can fly. I also read this little story about a little boy who had a cocoon, and inside the caterpillar was changing into a butterfly. And as it was becoming a butterfly, it was wrestling to get out of the cocoon, so he cut it open a little bit. And he tried to help it, and as he did, the butterfly came out, but it could not fly. When he helped it, he prematurely kind of brought the butterfly into this world, but it was unable to do what it was supposed to do. And it might be in our trouble and in our trial, I know you understand and following me on this, it's very simple, but it's very important. Let's not worry about things when they don't go our way. Let's find God. Let's find the Holy Spirit. Let's find the Word of God. Let's find God's peace and the Holy Spirit coming alongside us and saying, I am with you in this thing. I will lead you in it. I will guide you in it. I will help you in it. I will show you. You are not of the world. The world does things, you know, maybe quick, fast, natural. They throw money at problems. They throw words. They lie. They cheat. They steal. They operate in a different way, but not you and I. We don't have that way. We have found another way. The Holy Spirit is the one that will lead us and guide us. The Holy Spirit is the one that anoints our meetings and our way and our decisions and helps us in it. Many times through the months, it's the same, I know, with many of you. You have labored in prayer for your problems. You have gone to God to find God in your trouble. You have found God and you learn to thank him and praise him. You learn how to walk like that and live like that. You can always find another way of thinking. That's the Spirit of God in your way of thinking. You know what I mean, right? Okay. I remember Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, he got robbed one day, and they took his money. And he sat down and thought about it. And he said, I got to be thankful for that. I got robbed. And then he came up with four reasons why he could be thankful. And he said, I'll try to remember them. Number one, God, thank you, I was robbed and he didn't kill me. Number two, thank you that I robbed and I had little money. Number three, thank you that I was the one robbed and I was not the robber. I forgot the fourth one. How come he could think like that? The Holy Spirit. He is the one that's teaching us that in everything give thanks. Even that struggle that I don't like. That heartbroken heartbreak with a child or a relative or heartbreak with a thing that's going on, you know. It's okay. All right, now go to Psalm 89 with me, please, in verse 50 and 51. Lord, remember, Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Reproach means contempt or blame, mocking. It's an attitude by other people against you or God, an attitude of against, being against. Like if somebody said, oh God, I don't believe, how could God make the world with so much pain in it? I don't accept that. And so they have reproach against God. They have contempt towards God and towards God's ways. This is about the Messiah, verse 51. It says, wherewith your enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. They don't like the footsteps of Christ, the anointed. Footsteps. What does it mean, footsteps? What's that mean there? Wherewith they have mocked the footsteps of your anointed. They don't like where Jesus is walking. Jesus is walking and they mock him or where he's going. What he is saying, what his attitude is. This is the world. The world mocks the ways of God. The world mocks the footsteps of God. The world mocks the Spirit of God. The world mocks the ministry of the Spirit of God. The world doesn't like the footsteps of where Jesus is going. And in our minds, we can go to the Gospels and see his footsteps. Jesus is walking on water, and they mock him. Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and the devil, in effect, is saying, your footsteps are meaningless. Your footsteps mean nothing. You are not effective. You are, this is foolishness. What are you doing walking on the earth? This is ridiculous. Leave us. Go away. You are a fool. You do not know anything. You have no place here. You understand the spirit of the world. They say, you have no right here. You have, what are you doing here? What are you talking about? This is ridiculous. Leave us. Go away. You see that? Thine anointed. Well, Christ is the anointed. And we have a story here where this is seen. It's in Mark chapter 5. And you would turn there with me and we'll go through that story. Mark 5. They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. In the story, we read that this man had demons inside, and he's on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. We have been there in our visits in Israel, and I recommend, if at all possible, you go to Israel once in your lifetime or twice. Highly recommend it, because then this story, you have geography, topography in mind. When you're at the Sermon on the Mount area, when you go across this the lake. So in the year 2018, we're planning a trip to go to Israel for a week or so, and you are welcome. So keep that in prayer. But this man, in a way, this area is evil, that this man has these demons. And in a way, we could say it is agricultural. It is low population. It is there for century. It did happen. And we could say the footsteps of the Messiah went there. At Christ got on the boat, they sailed over. He got out of the boat, and there was this evil frozen, we could say. We don't know how many years this man is living in this condition. Pastor Alistair is here from Chester. We forgot to mention Pastor Alistair and his wife there from England, from the UK. Okay. All right. So maybe 10 years, 20 years, maybe even 100 years with the demons going to another man and then go to another man. We don't know. But the demons are parked here, and they don't want to leave. And it's frozen, and it's evil. And as the Messiah goes, and his footsteps take him there, there is mocking in the spirit world. Where are you going? Stay away from here. You have no business here. Why did you come? To mess things up? To interfere with our country? Or our families, or to interfere with this man? Why are you coming here? Like, stay away. And you can just hear the world has another spirit, and the world has a different way of thinking. Sometimes when there is evil, we stay away from it. We are afraid of it, but not the Messiah. The Messiah came for this reason. He came to change things. The Messiah has the Holy Spirit anointing. The Holy Spirit is with the Messiah. And the way he thinks is different from the world. And you say, no, God wants me to go there. And I'm going to go there. I'm on a mission. God has sent me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are in bondage, and to release them from demonic power. And that's why I came. And the reproach of his footsteps, or the mocking and the attitude is seen in this story. Okay. So verse 5. And always night and day he was in the mountains and the tombs crying, cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? This is what the demons in him said. What do I have to do with you, the Son of the Most High God? Another portion similar, leave me. Did you come to destroy me? Leave me, Mark chapter 1. Go away from me. And the world pipes in. The world has the same attitude. Leave them alone. Like, go away. But we have the same spirit as Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in us. And the Holy Spirit in us says, no, you are to make a difference. You're to be in that situation. You're to go in there with a message or with a spirit, with love. You're to go into that thing with an attitude of love and faith. No, God wants things to change. And sometimes in the world they say, no, leave it alone. Let it be. It's been that way all the time. Especially like in mission work. Leave those people. Don't interfere with them. Let them be. They let them die the way their ancestors have died. Let them be and be in the darkness that they are in. And we are like our footsteps are, they mock our footsteps like they mocked the footsteps of Jesus. But this is our meditation and our prayer and our thoughts today. Really, should we go? Should things change in Baltimore City? Are we going to give up? Are we going to surrender to evil? Are we going to say, let it be? There's nothing that can change. That no, we aren't like the world. We have the Spirit of God in us. And we say, no, there is love. There is faith. There is a ministry. There is God. No, God sent us. God uses us. No, that people need a message. And many times we do evangelism on the streets and different ways and knocking on doors and talking to young people. I was at a McDonald's yesterday, four young men. I said, talk to me. I like talking to people I don't know. How are you doing? I'll tell you a little bit about me. You tell me about you. They said, okay. I said, do you have a minute? They said, yes. Sometimes I say, I can ask you one question. You ask me one question. You can go first. Ask me a question. They say, no, you go first. And so I say, what's the most important thing in your life? And there we go. We just start talking. It is such a joy. And these young men, two of them said, four of them, they moved up from Florida. They've been here 6 months. They don't know of a church, but the two said they want to find one. I don't know if they're here, but maybe. And, sometimes the world is saved, you know, they're critical. They say, why did she waste the box of ointment on Jesus? Remember? And the disciples said, yeah, why did they waste the box of ointment on Jesus? And Jesus knew their thoughts and said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. She's done what she could. Remember? You see, these footsteps are different. This way of thinking is different. Like wasted on the Lord. Wasted, poured out on the Lord. And the world will say, no, it could be used this way or that way. But are you sure what you're talking about? Are you sure that it isn't the best thing for us to lose our life and find Christ? Are you sure that it isn't the better thing to be accepting the fact I am different? I have the Spirit of God in me. I am different. I enjoy the prayer. I enjoy the faith. I enjoy the church. I enjoy my brother, my sister. I learn to forgive like the Holy Spirit is the one that forgives. I learn to walk in the faith. And yeah, I will go across the Sea of Galilee to this place where others are afraid to go. But we can go. I remember down in Baltimore City, We had two workers Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. They were doing Sunday school. A man came up on the sidewalk and pulled a gun out to rob them. And so he pulled the gun out to rob them, and the two workers said, we don't have much. We're doing Sunday school work. We're going around telling people about Jesus. And the guy said, oh, okay. And he put the gun away. He goes, God bless you guys. Oh, okay. You know what? You are different. You are different. You have the person of the Holy Spirit. We are different. We walk in a different way. We have a mission. And look at the rest of the story. It says, he said in verse 7, he cried with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he said, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion. And that in Roman military law was approximately 6,000 men was a legion. And the demons were many, perhaps around 6,000 demons living in the man. And that's why he could pluck the chains away, that he could not socialize with anybody, that he lived by himself in the tombs and had supernatural strength. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. You see, I would have preferred that Jesus would have sent them to hell. And that's 6,000 less demons for us 2,000 years later. They would not be here. They would be in hell. But he didn't send them to hell because it's not that time. That happens in the millennium. But now is the time for the demons to be here still in this atmosphere. Why? Because of the bee that struggles with the wax seal to get out of the thing. That demons are used to cause trouble, and trouble is part of life. And we have the Holy Spirit who gives us comfort in our trouble. These words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, in the world trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You see, demons are a part of our training. They cause a lot of trouble in life, and they are not cast into hell yet. But they are allowed to be here, and they asked Jesus in verse 10, 11, there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine. You see, demons want a body. Human bodies are the best. Human bodies in high positions of authority, celebrities, movie makers, military leaders, presidents, parliamentarians, university professors. If demons can live in them and they can operate as evil men, they can affect millions, billions of people. That's how the world is. It is under the control of another spirit. But we have the Spirit of Christ, the Anointed One. We have a different spirit. Do you know the difference? Have you recognized the difference between the world and you? Yes. Because the Spirit is comforting, peace, love, hunger, desire for God. Capable of enduring and suffering and going through trouble in this life. The demon said, send us into the swine. And you know, when they go into the swine, they don't have a lot they can do with the swine. The swine can't talk. The swine can't carry a gun. The swine can't run for election. This swine can't preach a message or be in a lectern. This swine, they can destroy the swine. So they run downhill. And this is a pig farmer in Finland told me that pigs don't go downhill. You turn them around backwards and bring them down because of the way their eyes are, apparently, and their bodies are made. But it says that the demons had them go down a steep, verse 13, forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000. A lot of pigs, huh? A lot of them. And they were choked in the sea. 2,000. I wonder if that affected their economy. I wonder who was in charge of the pigs, if there was a herder of them or somebody overseeing them. Look at verse 14. They that fed the swine fled. So there's somebody feeding them, told it in the city and in the country. And guess what? It's bad news. He goes in the city, they can't believe what happened. This is what happened. Well, who causes? Jesus. Oh, Jesus, leave us. Did you come into the world to mess it up? Did you come into this life to mess up my family, to mess up my country, to mess up my village or my city? Did you come to mess it up? Isn't there another side to the good side of the story is the man is delivered? The other side of the story is that the people don't like it. Look at it, verse 15. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Look at 17. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Leave us. We don't like your footsteps. We don't like what you're doing. Leave us, depart from us, okay? You see? Everything, things that God does in the world, not everybody likes them. When God does something in the world, not everybody is in agreement. When God does something in the world, not everybody says, amen, that is awesome. When God does something in the world, not everybody understands it. And we are people that need to understand God's mind and what God is doing. And I would say, without being too complicated about it, it's just a good story to say the world is different from the Holy Spirit. World will say, why did you come? Why did you do it? Leave us. We mock you. We don't care about you. We don't see what you're doing. And the Holy Spirit says, I am leading you. This is the Father's will. Follow me. Trust me. I will show you. I will use you. This is important because evil has no right to this man's life. This man is delivered. And who cares about the pigs and the local economy? We care about the soul, about God's glory, about God's work, and what happens with this man and his family. And in the story, he went back to his family and told, and in the area, in the village, because he wanted to go with Jesus, of course. But Jesus said, no, go back to your family and tell them everything that I have done for you. And here's the end of the story. Time later, Jesus leaves, because he leaves. Guys, he's not going to deal with these people that way. He leaves. The man does his work. And then when he comes back, it says they were waiting for him. They were waiting for him. They wanted him to come back now. They were waiting for him. I am saying, I guess, many things this morning in our message. However you are hearing me, that we are people that are very honored to have anointed footsteps and anointed purposes. We are very honored to be led and cared for, and in our trouble, Don't underestimate the value of it, because you are growing and developing in it. We could also say that the world will never understand the ways of God and never agree. But we are people that need to be careful to be led in love, led in faith. It's not always easy, but we can find our way and make right decisions because the Holy Spirit will lead us in it. He will do it. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit will do it. Thank you, God. You will help me, Father, because I don't want to go from the... I read this story about a horse in a race jumping over the hurdles, what are those called, over the fences. And this horse ran up, refused to go, went over and got into a barbed wire fence and got into trouble. And like if the horse had done what he was trained to do and what he should have done, he would have been fine. But he panicked and the horse didn't, and he got into more trouble. And I think sometimes we as believers are like that. We kind of panic and we just say, you know, and we find ourselves into more trouble. But the Holy Spirit will lead us in our trouble, through our trouble. Guide us and we'll say, wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. What happened? And the Lord said, I did it. I led you. I guided you. You were afraid, but you went and by faith, and I got it done. I am with you in it. And that, this is a great lesson for all of us. Because sometimes I realize, I know when Jesus got on the boat and he left, he could say, that was amazing, Father. That man is free and his family is blessed now. And you did a great work. Who cares about the pigs floating in the Sea of Galilee? Crabs can get them. They can have Maryland crabs, that's all. Who cares about the loss? And think about the gain. And you'll always be challenged because the world will say, that's a loss. And we'll say, that's a loss, but it's well worth it because this is a great gain. Okay. All right. Meditation time. Would you pray with me? You're here today and you don't have Jesus in your life. This is a good day for you to say to Jesus Christ, I need you in my life. Nobody can find their way out of this paper bag called life. We can't get out of it without death. And you died the death so I could be free. You set me free from my sin, from myself, from the grave. You set me free, Jesus. You and only you did this through our Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit will show me the way and lead me and help me, guide me in my struggle, in my heart, in my life. Help me, lead me. You're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, then say in your heart, I believe in you, Jesus, and raise your hand. We just want to see your hand go up and say yes to Jesus, anyone at all. Yes to the Lord. And the ushers will give you a little booklet and encourage you. Anyone at all, raise your hand. There is somebody. Thank you. That's an answer to prayer. Thank you. Yes, prayer. Prayer, thank you. God bless you. Prayer. Be praying. Months we're praying, months. And Friday nights for prayer. And then in your own heart, pray with me. Oh, that God would bring people like animals went to Noah's Ark, that people would come into this church and any church where the gospel is preached and be born again and saved by God's grace. And learn and be led by the Spirit of God in your life. Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.